My name is John Gill, and I'm a family medicine physician at a community health center in Waco, Texas. I'd like to invite you to join me and my wife, Hillary, in supporting CMDA with your financial support as well as your prayers. Hillary and I have been blessed by CMDA's ministry since I was a medical student back at the University of New Mexico. CMDA provided a much-needed Christian perspective and great encouragement as I navigated medical school. Later, after I was in private practice, CMDA was an encouragement to us as we attended our first national conference and were encouraged to fulfill the calling to medicine in a way that really matters. About 4 years ago, we went on our first trip with CMDA, visiting Greece with other CMDA members and enjoying their company. We learned together, and the New Testament came alive in a new way. I've also been blessed by time spent in professional coaching from CMDA's Center for Well-Being during a time of burnout and overload. For the last 4 years, I've gotten to know CMDA from the inside as I've served on the Board of Trustees. What a blessing. I've been impressed by CMDA's breadth of ministries, its willingness to take on serious and challenging ethical issues with integrity, and to equip its members to face them in practice. Most of all, I've been privileged to get to know more CMDA staff. I've never been around a more capable, humble, and mission-driven group of people. I now know from the inside how effectively CMDA uses resources for the benefits of its members and ultimately for the kingdom of God. I know that my donations are investments that pay dividends in the lives of our members, their families, the patients they serve, and ultimately God's glory as they both find wholeness in Christ.
Hi, and welcome back to CMDA Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, the CEO of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Stories from our members, like Dr. John Gill today, are intentional this month. In sharing these stories, I wanted you to hear just a snapshot of the many testimonies our staff get to hear as they engage with healthcare professionals who've been influenced by the ministries of CMDA. I have to admit, I'm also hoping that sharing these stories of CMDA's mission in action would encourage, maybe even inspire you to consider one more gift to CMDA before June the 30th. Our fiscal year will end in less than 3 weeks, and I need your support to help CMDA finish strong and be well positioned for new ministry opportunities. I am thrilled to report that we have received many generous gifts and that we are well on our way to claiming the $130,000 matching gift provided by three different CMDA members. Thank you so much in advance for considering your best gift today. To give your gift, just visit cmda.org/match or call 888-230-2637, and one of our staff will help you make your gift. Before we get to my interview today with Dr. Tom Robey, I want to encourage you to be praying for our country and our world. We are facing unprecedented times with a tragic pandemic, a horrible act by police officers in Minneapolis with the death of Mr. George Floyd, riots, looting, and violence. There's absolutely no place for racism in any form in our world today, and CMDA condemns racism in any form. I encourage you to read our public policy statement on racism that was approved by our Board of Trustees back in 2018. It can be found on our website under Policy and Issues. Last week's webinar and panel discussion, which was entitled Created in His Image, Reversing Racism's Effects on Health and Healthcare. It was moderated by Bill Reichart, who is the National Director of our Campus and Community Ministries, as well as Ms. Nicole Hayes, who is our Area Director for CMDA in Washington, D.C. This webinar emphasized that we need to examine our own feelings and perspectives. With all of my heart, listener, I believe that racism is incompatible with CMDA's mission, vision, and our core values. If you missed the webinar, I want to encourage you to view it at cmda.org/racism. You'll see the webinar as well as the information on our racism public policy statement for CMDA. You know, we've said before that in every crisis, there is an opportunity. And in New York City, CMDA has a very active local council. It is led by Dr. Paulina Kim as the chair and CMDA's area director, Dr. Matthew Sah. They've both taken the crisis together with their council and used it for ministry. They've been working overtime to support their Christian colleagues in the Big Apple, with two dedicated virtual worship sessions every week called Oasis. In addition, they've been fundraising to purchase PPE, especially N95 masks for residents and outpatient physicians who've just not been able to adequately be supplied in this pandemic. This past weekend, I was actually attending one of those Oasis meetings, and I heard an attendee share how her giving a donated N95 mask to a colleague led to that healthcare professional making a commitment to Christ. The attendee said she would have never guessed that such a gift would lead to such a major commitment. Our campus and community staff, our Center for Wellbeing Leadership, and our CMDA psychiatry section have been working together with the goal of providing a safety net of pastoral, counseling, and mental health staff to help meet the needs of the 600-plus healthcare professionals in the New York City network and other hard-hit areas across the United States. My interview today is with Dr. Tom Roby. He is the chair of the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons, also known as PACS. I hope you'll find this interview inspiring as he discusses with me the history of PACS, including the critical role CMDA played in its mission and growth to train and disciple African surgeons. If you have ever met or heard PACS founder, surgeon Dr. David Thompson speak, you will know that he is an incredible ambassador for serving in medical missions. Dr. Roby today gives us the short version of how Dr. Thompson envisioned and launched PACS in the mid-90s. This particular ministry of CMDA is nearly 25 years old. Well, on a personal level, I had the opportunity to serve as a PACS faculty at Temwick Hospital in Kenya for nearly 15 years. And so I'm delighted for you today to listen in on my conversation with Dr. Tom Roby. Well, I find it a wonderful privilege to invite a very gentle and excellent leader and surgeon to the CMDA Matters podcast this week, and that is Dr. Tom Roby, who is the chairman of the PACS Commission, soon to be an independent organization. So, Dr. Roby, welcome to the program, and would you just let our listeners know just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having me. Yes, I'm a pediatric otolaryngologist. I've been practicing in Milwaukee, Wisconsin at Children's Wisconsin Hospital for the past 19 years. I'm also an associate professor at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and I have the pleasure of being our residency program director for otolaryngology here at MCW. So I've been able to be a part of the facilitating and leading 15 of my otolaryngology residents through their five-year career with us here at Wisconsin. And then, as you mentioned, my other hat is currently I'm in the midst of my two-year term as chairman of the PACS Commission and soon to be board of directors, and have been involved with PACS since 2005. And that's how you and I met, through one of the PACS meetings in the last few years.
So that was 15 years ago. We've got a number of listeners, Dr. Roby, who hear the name PACS and are scratching their heads saying, I hope they explain what PACS is. So why don't you just take a few minutes to explain what PACS stands for and how it all got started.
PACS stands for the Pan-African Academy of Christian Surgeons. and it's an organization that started back in 1996. Dr. David Thompson, who many of our listeners probably are familiar with, a general surgeon and Christian Missionary Alliance missionary who was stationed in Gabon at the time, he and several other missionary surgeons throughout Africa were at a meeting in Brackenhurst, Kenya, and came up with the idea of starting a surgical training program for Africans to basically replace what many of these missionary surgeons were doing as a career in Africa. And initially, PACS was first a committee under CMDA and then a council under CMDA, and then 2007 it became a commission under CMDA. PACS has existed in, as a commission under CMDA since then, up until our current time, and we're excited to announce that as of July 1st, we'll be going off and being an independent 501c3 organization, and look forward to this new frontier that the Lord has led us into.
Well, Dr. Thompson, whom you mentioned, the CMA missionary surgeon, I didn't meet him in that Brackenhurst conference in 96, but I sure did meet him in 98, and he was still beating that drum saying, hey, even you young surgeons, you're not going to last forever, coming over from the U.S. to Africa, and we're going to finish, and if we don't figure out a way to make this indigenous, that if we don't replace ourselves with Africans, a lot of effort over decades is just going to fade away. Please join me in this effort to train Africans in Africa for Africa. And it just really pricked my partner, the other surgeon, Dr. White's heart, and me that, wow, this is, I wish we could start today. We didn't. And so in those early years, I think Dr. Thompson was kind of alone, wasn't he? It really was kind of a slow start.
Yeah, I think there were maybe another program other than his at Bungalow Hospital in Gabon, but I don't think the other initial programs made it. And Bungalow is the one program where Dr. Thompson was that not only made it, but continues to thrive today and has been sort of the light on the hill for all the PACS programs to sort of follow after. And it was a very slow start in those early years. PACS, since I've been a part of the organization, always had this vision of graduating 100 surgeons by 2020 for the glory of God to practice surgery all over Africa. And in many of those early years, you kind of wonder, were we ever going to get there? Because
right.
It looks sort of like a flat line. And then exponentially, PACS has just grown over the last several years. And just to see the blessing that the Lord has poured into the organization. And we just kept getting bigger. And we were all amazed that, sure enough, here we are in 2020. And we've given out 98 diplomas so far. And we have several more graduating surgeons this year. So we'll be well over 100 surgical diplomas that we have given out by the end of the 2020 year. And God not only met that dream that many of us had, but has gone past it. And now we see, as I mentioned, PACS is just going to continue to exponentially grow at this point.
What is it that got you so excited that you've been with it for 15 years and even now chairing the commission's soon-to-be board?
Mike, it's a funny story. It's one of those that until someone asks you, you don't actually remember how it all happened at the beginning. But what I do remember is that I was sitting in my office here at Children's Hospital here in Wisconsin, and I got an email one day. I don't know if the email came directly from Dr. Thompson or if it came through CMDA. I've been a member of CMDA since medical school, and as I started off into practice here in Milwaukee, was involved in CMDA. And it's one of those sort of vehicles, the email came to my attention, and it was an email describing what PACS was doing in Africa, and Dr. Thompson explaining, you know, he was looking for volunteer surgeons to come over and help train and disciple his African surgeons. And I emailed Dr. Thompson back, and I said, you know, this sounds wonderful, exciting, love to be a part of this. I don't think you'd ever want an ENT surgeon because it sounds like a general surgery program, but boy, if you ever needed someone, I'd love to do it. And he emailed me back and said, we'll take you. He said, you have to understand that surgery in Africa involves the skin and all of its contents, which means, head and neck region, we need you. And so the next thing I know, I was planning a trip to Gabon. I had no idea where Gabon was. back then, you just sort of got out the map, you figured out how to get flights. And the next thing I know, I was going to Gabon. And Dr. Thompson met me at one of the southern airports in Gabon after I spent a night in the capital in Libreville, and then got to Muila, which is the southern capital of Gabon. And sure enough, never had seen Dr. Thompson, had no idea what he looked like, but I soon figured out who he was when he greeted me at the airport. And next thing I know, I was on dirt roads for another several hours to get to Bungalow. And I think the whole trip took over 2 days by the time I had left Chicago and actually arrived there, and had a wonderful experience. And met his resident. At the time, he had three surgery residents there, spent several weeks with them, training them, teaching them in the classroom, operating with them, having Bible study with them. Just probably one of the best experiences I had ever had up to that point. When I got back to the United States, I was just telling everyone about it and decided to go back a couple years later and actually started taking my children. And I think in 2008, Dr. Thompson asked me if I would be part of the tax commission. And that's when I went to my first meeting in Louisville and met a lot of the other commission members of PACS. And then as they say, the rest was history after that.
You bet. I think one of the things that I've learned from just observing those first 8 to 10 years with Dr. Thompson is that it sometimes takes a long time for a pioneer, someone with a vision like that, to be persistent and to be faithful before God suddenly seems like sprinkles some sort of grow fast favor over the program, because around the time that you got involved is really when things started to take off. And in those early years in Gabon, in West Africa, it was predominantly Francophone. And that was one of the challenges in those earlier years, is to get expatriate, specifically American surgeons who did not speak French, to go to West Africa. Then later along comes East Africa, with some countries where English is spoken. And I think probably a number of surgeons now wanted, oh yeah, I can go and speak English and be part of this incredible new training program. Let's talk a little bit about where PACS is right now. This program started off as wanting to train general surgeon skin and its contents, but it's evolved quite a bit. Talk to us about that evolution.
PACS is now scattered throughout West and Eastern Africa. We also have programs in Egypt, and then as far south as Tanzania and Malawi. It's not just a general surgery training program anymore. There are actually 16 training programs currently. We have 10 general surgery programs, 3 orthopedic surgery programs, a head and neck fellowship, a pediatric surgery training program, and I'm blanking on the last one right now. It will come to me as we talk here.
You mentioned neurosurgery?
Well, and then we'll be starting next year. There'll be a plastic surgery program starting, an OBGYN program starting,
yes,
a neurosurgery program, and anesthesia. So we're really excited about those subspecialties coming on board as well. It's been just exciting to see how God has led in, I guess, two different fronts. I've seen during my time with PACS one sort of the subspecialty front starting, where often Western surgeons with an interest in helping PACS and have been going to places have felt that there has been a need to start a subspecialty surgical program. Over the years, we've seen the orthopedic surgery program start, the head and neck, pediatric. The other one that I forgot to mention was the one at your former hospital, the cardiothoracic program.
Oh, of course.
That started there. But then the other area that I see is just we're sort of our own general surgical graduates who are now out in the field and are working now at 21 different African nations. Some of them have now said, hey, we would like to start a PACS program in, you know, our home country, or a group of us is in an area and we would like to come together and start a PACS program. So it's also been exciting to see those programs get off the ground, and PACS is growing in both ways. So as I mentioned, our presence is in 21 countries on the continent. One of our goals for the next 5 to 10 years is Would the Lord double that? And, you know, could we have a footprint in as many as 40 nations throughout Africa between our graduates and our training programs? And we'll see if God honors that and provides the resources to make that possible.
Are all the grads still in Africa today?
Yeah, so our retention rate up to this point has been 100%. And we're really excited the fact that we have 19 of our graduates who are now PACS faculty members. Mm-hmm. We have 4 PACS alumni who are actually serving as program directors of residency training programs. And we have 7, I believe, that are serving as associate program directors. The value of a PACS graduate, I don't think you can put a number on it from an economic standpoint. But I think hospitals all around Africa are realizing that if you hire a PACS graduate, you're not only hiring a gifted surgeon who's been well trained, but who is a disciple of Jesus Christ, who administratively has leadership skills that are so valuable to not only the hospital, but also to the local church. I think from an economic standpoint, the hospitals do better because to have a gifted surgeon there that can now treat and help so many of the patients that come from all over have an impact not only for the hospital there, but also that spreads into the local community. That footprint grows around the whole country from an educational standpoint. Some of our graduates are involved with continuing education and then open that up to other surgeons in their area. Our graduates all sit for the COSESCA boards in East Africa, but they hold many prominent positions within the society and have done extremely well on their exam scores. And so PACS is really, the Lord has used it in so many ways throughout Africa to improve the lives of people throughout the continent.
Both the Board of Trustees of CMDA and the Commission, working carefully and respectfully over the last 11, 12 months, have come to the conclusion that there will be independence on July 1st, so that PACS will be a recognized 501c3 organization and on its own. And what do you see coming after July 1st for PACS?
Well, Mike, I think it's an exciting time. I think we're sort of taking it one day and one week at a time. We have a tremendously gifted administrative staff that have all been under the tutelage of CMDA for the last several years and have learned from their peers at CMDA and are leading us. Susan Koshy will be our chief executive officer. Dr. Kira Thielander will be our executive vice president. And Stephen Darch will be our chief financial officer, and they will be in charge of leading this transition. We'll be contacting all of our donors and PACS family to let them know how they can get a hold of us and at our new address. And then there are some things that are not going to change. Our website will stay the same. Our relationship with CMDA, although we won't necessarily be under CMDA, we look to continue to keep as partners going forward and working side by side. And many of the people in our organizations have a vital role in both organizations. And so looking forward to that as well. I also think it'll be important just to get the message out to our trainees, our program directors, our alumni, all to let them know that they are part of this establishment of a new organization independently, and we look forward to having their presence on our leadership as well. We're excited that we're going to have a PACS graduate now be part of our board of directors going forward. We're also will be announcing the start of a PACS fellowship where one PACS alumnus a year will come over to the U.S. and spend several weeks here for professional development and also be part of our board meetings and some of our peer-to-peer events that we have to just tell other people about PACS so that they can share their stories, because really the PACS story is not told unless we have our alumnus there to explain what they're doing. That really is the highlight right there, is to hear that finished product and the impact that they're having in their native countries.
How does the commission envision over time integrating some of these grads who are just amazingly talented, passionate people, who care about Africa integrating in terms of governance for PACS?
That, I think, is what we're most looking forward to. As I mentioned, some of these new positions that we'll be starting, we'd like to have our brothers and sisters in Africa be a part of the actual board of directors going forward, and so we're excited about expanding those opportunities. We're excited about the Latane program, where here we have a PACS general surgery program that is entirely run by PACS graduates. And so the entire faculty, the program directors, everyone involved with the program is one of our former residents who is now out there and leading the charge and teaching and now giving back for what they were able to receive during their 5 years of training. And so I envision, and I pray that this is God's vision for PACS, that more and more of our training programs will be led by our PACS graduates. But I think we will always need each other, and that I hope that there is a relationship where we see value in both sides coming together under one Lord and working for the plans that He has. And I don't think it doesn't always necessarily mean us bringing them over here to the U.S., but, you know, maybe not too long in the short-term future, we will have potentially a PACS meeting, board meeting in Africa. We already have our basic science course that we do every 2 years in Brackenhurst in Kenya, and we have talked about making that a yearly meeting. We had a professional development conference that was planned for this June in Kenya, where we were going to bring all of our faculty together for a week of professional development, but will be rescheduled in 2021. So those are just some of the examples where we're trying to bridge the ocean, so to speak, include all of us in the leadership structure going forward.
I wanted to bring our time to a close, but I bet you will agree that it's really important for us to recognize that God provided an incredible partner in all of this over these years, that without them, this would have been very difficult, and that's the Loma Linda University and the partnership with PACS. Just briefly tell our listeners how Loma Linda has made this possible.
Yeah, Loma Linda has provided our academic certification for all of the PACS programs throughout Africa. And so our diplomas are backed by Loma Linda. And they also played a vital role in, and still do in going to all the PACS sites and making sure that they are sort of up to the academic standards that we say that we have at each of those places. But they actually have a group that rotates through all of our sites every few years and reviews them much in the same way that sort of like a JCO survey at the hospitals in the United States. But we do that throughout Africa. And they've been a wonderful partner. They've been a great partner for us administratively as well. One of their members serves on our board and has been a pipeline for young missionary surgeons that have wanted to get involved with PACS from a teaching standpoint and also provide a fellowship opportunity for people to go over and see what PACS is all about. So Loma Linda has been a wonderful partner, and we look forward to continuing that going forward.
Dr. Roby, thank you for joining us today on CMDA Matters. And you know that you have our prayers here from CMDA in Bristol. And we won't be going far. We'll be working together. We trust to the glory of God and His kingdom being built in Africa and beyond.
Thank you, Mike. I really appreciate this conversation today and wish the best for CMDA as we move forward as well.
CMDA has been so blessed to have been a facilitating partner with PACS, because it provides excellent, compassionate care to those in need in Africa and beyond. We've enjoyed a wonderful relationship over the years, and many of you, like me, have served with PACS. While PACS will be an independent 501c3 beginning in July, CMDA will continue to pray for them, to point mission-minded surgeons in their direction, and as opportunities arise, to partner with PACS to ensure that their mission to train Christian African surgeons in Africa, for Africa, continues. Well, after that interview, two resources that I want to recommend. The first is the Handbook of Medicine, the 5th edition. This is a manual for practitioners in low-resource settings, written by Dr. Dennis Palmer together with Dr. Catherine Wolf. And in this 5th edition, they were joined by Dr. Burton Lee. This book especially is for those serving or preparing to serve in missions. Those who see patients with leprosy or dengue fever or a multitude of medical issues that we just don't see in the United States, it is an invaluable resource because it covers a wide variety of diseases and offers the latest treatment recommendations. You will want to pack it in your travel bags for your next mission trip. Another resource is Beyond Medicine, What Else You Need to Know to Be a Healthcare Missionary. And this was written by our CMDA CEO Emeritus, Dr. David Stevens. As a healthcare missionary in today's landscape, the success of your ministry depends on your ability to manage the non-medical tasks that you encounter each and every day. Dr. Stevens uses his own personal experiences as well as his expertise and insight to guide you through these topics and many others. With easy-to-use principles and practical advice, it's designed to inspire and encourage you as you carry out your call in service to the Lord. This book is a must-have resource to help you go beyond medicine. On a different note, I wanted you to be aware of an important event we are planning for Saturday, June 27th from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It is called Going to the Rock from a Hard Place, Hope and Help for the Journey. This is presented by our Center for Well-Being at CMDA. This webinar will prepare attendees to respond to some of the mental, psychological, and spiritual well-being challenges posed by the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Between the two presentations will be an opportunity to pause and connect with God as well as find rest for your soul. Presentations will be made by Dr. Steve Sartori, who's head of the Center for Well-Being, as well as Dr. Ann Sen and Pastor Ken Jones. There will be 2 hours of continuing education offered. You can find out more information on our website at cmda.org/well-being. As I close this week, I want to remind you of our Facebook page, and you can find that page when you log into your own account and in the search bar type Courage in the Crisis, CMDA, and COVID-19. You know, each Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Time, we have a live Facebook event on CMDA National's Facebook page with a short devotional time. Just take a 15-minute break if you can and join us as different CMDA members share a devotional. If you miss the devotional at noon, you can just find it posted later on our website. As I think today about my conversation with Dr. Tom Robey, I'm reminded of sacrificial service to others. So I want to finish with today's scripture from Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, because it calls us to serve others, not for personal gain or accumulating wealth, but to be one with Christ. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them." And then 4 powerful words, "Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Please remember, what matters to you matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. We will see you next week when my guests will be a newly graduated double doctor couple who met through CMDA as they attended a first-year medical school Bible study. Dr. Chad and Etta Neighbors are preparing to launch their residencies in South Carolina next month, and I believe their story and their commitment to a Christian community will inspire you. You won't want to miss it. Thanks for joining me today on CMDA Matters.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.